Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. As 5G wireless technology spreads around the globe to give us the Internet of Things, faster data speeds, 3D imaging, investment opportunities, and more. On today's program, we look at what the corporate media don't tell us about 5G technology. We'll look at the underside, and we'll look at alternative ways to have a high-tech world without potential harm from wireless 5G technology.
Crimes perpetrated by criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguise under the guise of democracy, politics of the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we are going to be looking at 5G and the Internet of Things, which is looming on the horizon. Our first guest today is Kate Keel. She's a mother, grandmother, musician, now advocate for safe internet and communications technology. She's the founder and director of Maryland Smart Meter Awareness, part of the core team of Safe G Alliance, and most recently actively involved with Stop 5G International, which spearheads the global 5G protest days. Now, again, I said that 5G and the Internet of Things is looming on the horizon, and Kate has dedicated herself to informing the public and policymakers nationally and internationally about harms of 5G and the Internet of Things. And Kate is encouraging people to insist on better options that provide safe, fast, high-capacity, cyber-secure internet and telecommunications technology for all. Kate Keel, thank you so much for joining the Project Censored Show. So let's start off. Explain to us this issue of 5G and the Internet of Things.
5G refers to the fifth generation wireless technology. There was 2G, then 3G, 4G, and now 5G. And although it's being marketed as lightning fast download speeds, it's much more. With 4G and cell phones, they connected nearly every person on the planet to each other with cell phones and internet, and the profits were tapering off. So the next horizon to conquer, so to speak, was to connect everything, event, and point on the planet to the internet as well. And this is called the Internet of Things, and it involves smart homes, smart cities, smart regions. And as you can imagine, with everything connected to the internet, this will generate an extraordinary amount of data, because every thought, action, word, movement, purchase, or affiliation will be recorded, monetized, and sold for targeted marketing, surveillance, and potentially control. And the data also will serve as fodder, or essentially food for artificial intelligence. And as one might imagine also, to carry this amount of data and connectivity will require a vast increase in technology. And this is going to take over the skies and Earth. If you would like, I can go into the technical things of the antennas and how many satellites and so forth. But essentially, we're going to be blanketed with millions and millions of more wireless antennas, tens of thousands of satellites in the sky, and Earth-based stations and user terminals and so forth, blanketing all of us with an unprecedented levels of wireless radiation.
Well, you've already given us a number of things to think about just connected to this kind of mobile technology, 5G technology, from surveillance and data harvesting to health effects, health impacts. So go ahead and tackle a couple of those things in the order that you think they're most significant based on your work and your activism.
We're looking at impacts that will include impacts on our health, on wildlife and the environment, including pollinators that are obviously at the heart of our food supply, loss of privacy and self-sovereignty, as every single thing we're going to be doing will be tracked and recorded. Far more frequent and devastating cyber attacks. If you have thousands and thousands of satellites in the sky, huge increase in our e-footprint for from energy consumption, from the manufacturing and production of all these mostly useless wireless gadgets and devices. And this is called the embodied energy. Also, wireless consumes vastly more energy than wired technology. There's also the psychosocial effect. When kids are being put on computers and screen time almost their entire waking days, when Alexa knows more about your child than you do, or talks more to your child than you do, e-waste from the toxins released during the manufacturing and also the disposal of all this stuff. There are ethical issues. The mining for minerals in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, we need these minerals in all of our technology. And mining for these has contributed to the death of 5 to 6 million Congolese people and very harsh working conditions, including child labor.
In the coltan mines, right?
Exactly. It's for coltan and other rare earth minerals. There's also space debris from the satellites, which is already acknowledged by the U.S. government as a serious, serious threat. And this is before the launching of tens of thousands more satellites. The collision from the space debris also, and certainly a solar flare, which we expect periodically, would have devastating effects with satellites peppering our skies. And then, of course, the loss of the sky, which is the heritage and belongs to all beings on the planet, and interference with astronomical research and weather forecasting, and there's no indemnification and no insurance. And a cyber attack could cost in the trillions of dollars. And then I'd like to point out one more thing. People who are opposing 5G are not bloodied. We're calling for safe wired technologies, technology that's safe for humans, wildlife, and the planet.
Well, Kate Keel, you've certainly given us a lot to think about. You talked about data tracking and surveillance with 5G, a significant increase in data tracking, data harvesting, surveillance. You talked about the significant e-footprint and the environmental and electronic footprint on the Earth. You talked about increased susceptibility to cyber attacks, and the more that our technology is reliant upon these digital delivery systems. You talk about the issues with health and wireless energy that has been documented, even admitted to certain degrees by the World Health Organization. You talked about the psychosocial impacts of screen time, 5G digitization of our very living spaces, essentially, and right. The health of ramifications of that. You mentioned ethics and child labor, back to environmental degradation to extract resources to make 5G and the Internet of Things go. You mentioned space debris from an increased number of satellites, and the U.S. government is even admitting that this is a huge problem. And then you mentioned last, but certainly not least, the commons, the heritage we as humans leave to future generations, and what are our technological changes doing to the Earth and its inhabitants. So, Kate Keel, perhaps you want to tackle that one momentarily in terms of what do you think the net effect of all of this technology, 5G, is right now, and tell our listeners at least a little bit of what you've been trying to do about it.
In terms of the environment, it's just hard to quantify because, as with everything in the world, the industry will, of course, pitch this as resolving some of these problems. And in fact, there is something called the fourth wave of environmentalism, which has kind of paired up with the technology industry to use satellites or to use this kind of technology to track or count endangered species and so forth. So I did want to say that industry is pitching it as a positive thing. However, the disruption to wildlife is devastating. Many, many animals depend on the Earth's magnetic field for navigation, for breeding, food, migration, and indeed their very survival. And recent research has shown that current levels of artificial radiation are already interfering with these biological processes. I can give you a quote from Cindy Russell, Dr. Cindy Russell. Biologists have discovered that wireless electromagnetic radiation disturbs internal magnetoreceptors used for navigation, as well as disrupting other complex cellular and biologic processes in mammals, birds, fish, insects, with profound impacts on the natural environment. The radiation has also been implicated in colony collapse disorder. I didn't talk about this, but 5G is going to have the shorter millimeter wave frequencies. Many companies plan to use the shorter millimeter wave frequencies, and those will be even more perilous to insects, who are millimeter-sized creatures and will selectively absorb and amplify these frequencies. So we're interfering with a lot of systems.
So, Kate Keel, in the last minute or two we have, any information you want to share with our listeners? Any place that people can go to get more information or find out more about some of the efforts you're involved?
Consider going to stop5ginternational.org. Again, that's stop5ginternational.org. There are two places particularly to look at there. One, why say no to 5G? And the second page is suggested actions. That website, along with ehtrust.org, Environmental Health Trust, and 5gcrisis.com. So all of those websites will give people resources to actually get involved in raising awareness and talking to neighbors and schools and government officials, and ways to join in the global protest days. And let me just say when those are. The next global protest day is planned for March 20th, and then a smaller event on December 20th this year, 2020, a candlelight vigil. We position those around the solstice and the equinox, kind of hoping that in some way looking towards nature and respecting nature will help us find our way out of this rather complex position we're in right now as a species, and dangerous position we're in as a species. So I invite people to go to those websites and to get involved in any way they can. I know myself, this is the last thing I'll say, I know myself that I was very hesitant to get involved. I'm a musician, and I was outside of my comfort zone completely. But when I started 10 years ago, 11 years ago with smart meters, I took one step outside of my comfort zone, and then I started to learn, quote unquote, on the job. And one step led to the next, and then you become involved in a hopefully helpful way in raising awareness and helping us to choose a future that we can, in fact, all live with.
Well, Kate Keel, thanks so much for your activism and sharing that information with us today, with all of our listeners. Those sites, certainly the background of the concerns that you have and that you're hoping others have about the adoption of 5G technology and the Internet of Things. Kate Keel, thanks for joining us on the Project Censored Show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Up next on the Project Censored Show, we continue our conversation about 5G with Phoebe Sorgan. We'll be back after this brief musical break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. In this segment of the program, we welcome Phoebe Sorgan, who co-founded Wired, Wireless Radiation Education and Defense. She was recently arrested for blocking an antenna installation. I believe this was in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're going to hear more about that from Phoebe now. She also serves on the Green Party U.S. National Committee and the Move to Amend Steering Committee. Phoebe Sorgan, I remember back in the days of the Berkeley Fellowship, a Unitarian Universalist Social Justice Committee, used to do a lot of events there, and you're certainly no stranger to the Bay Area social justice community. Phoebe, welcome to the program today.
Thank you for having me on.
It's a delight to have you on. I'm sorry we don't get to see each other in person as much these days. But you have a long history working as a peace and justice commissioner. You wrote Berkeley's two resolutions to end corporate personhood for Citizens United. I mean, the list goes on. Here's the question to kick off today. We're talking about 5G and the Internet of Things, and you co-founded Wireless Radiation Education and Defense. So among the many things that you do, you're also fairly prominent in this movement regarding 5G technology. So Phoebe Sorgan, talk to us a little bit about that and not only why you're concerned about it, but what can people be doing about it? I know a big part of your activism is solution-oriented.
My focus in the last 15 years has been on getting democracy back from corporate rule because, as you know, this is a corporatocracy and that just is key to everything. So working with Move to Amend. But I got completely distracted by the issue of 5G because that too changes everything. Not only because of the health problems, which are egregious and enormous, but also surveillance. So for 3 years now, I've been working to stop 5G locally. And what's happened in Berkeley can help inform people of what to do where they live. Strive to get local laws more protective. The FCC limits somewhat what cities can do, but cities still have a lot of power. And so we've been lobbying for 3 years. We've gotten our local laws to be a little stronger, but we are now pushing for amendments to make them stronger still, as in Petaluma, Mill Valley, and Encinitas. And so people can lobby their mayor and city council members for stronger laws. As a last resort, now the rollout is commencing. There have been 6 newly installed antennas, small cell antennas in Berkeley, and another 12 permitted. So now that they're starting to install them, as a last resort, we're engaging in civil disobedience. We have long been protesting these things, and as they have upped the ante, so have we. We've been occupying the sites to prevent or delay the installations with some success. We did delay quite a bit the installations. AT&T started out, the contractors would put these flimsy plastic barriers around, and we would just step over them. So then the contractors started putting up 8-foot-tall chain link fences that are very difficult to get inside of. So we started going in the middle of the night so that we would get there before they did. They then, the last time on October 28th, they sent the cops, or the cops, I don't know, came on their own. This is outrageous that Berkeley cops are protecting a multi-billion dollar corporation instead of protecting the people who are trying to protect the community. So cops came in even before workers or trucks arrived. They came in like a SWAT team with their headlights off until they were about half a block away. Then suddenly they surrounded us and they arrested me because I refused to leave the pole. And there are 2 charges against me, which I expect they will not press charges. I've been arrested many times for acts of conscience, and generally they don't press charges because they don't want to give our cause more publicity. But if they do press charges, I'll request a jury trial. So we continue this work. And the next action is on Stop 5G International's Day of Action, Sunday, December 20th. Locally, from 3:30 to 5 p.m., we're having a masked ball pole dance. Fun, fun, fun. We'll be dancing in the streets, keeping physical distance. It will be followed by a candlelight vigil. Check out gowired.org for details. We'll start on Bonar Street at University Avenue at the Berkeley Unified School District building main entrance. There's a newly installed antenna there. It's going to harm many, many children. Not only the elementary school children who will be moved into that building while their schools are being retrofitted, but also nearby preschools, there's senior housing nearby. It's horrendous. if that new antenna has gone live by then and is emitting radiation, then we'll go around the corner to Strawberry Creek Park on Addison Street. So there's pretty good visibility with a lot of traffic on University Avenue. Please join us there the day before the solstice from 3:30 to 5 or around the corner at the park. We're going to have a great time. We have lots of creative aspirations. There might be a flash mob dance. There might be a Santa Claus who will be asking people what they want for the holidays, and they'll say they want a ban on 5G. There might be a maypole. It will be a May We Stop 5G pole with ribbons woven around the telephone pole. We have to make our resistance fun. Like Emma Goldberg said, if I can't dance, I don't want to be a part of your revolution.
Yeah, Emma Goldman, the famous anarchist feminist 100 years ago. That's a great quote.
Absolutely. I meant Emma Goldman.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's been an honor and a privilege to work with many, many wonderful people on this. And we do have fun with it. We're creative with it. And that way we have the energy and the stamina to keep going and do what it takes.
Well, Phoebe Sorgan, the Project Censored Show, of course, originates out of Berkeley, California, where you were just describing these events, some of these egregious events, actually, in addition to forthcoming gatherings against 5G and protesting this. But the show does air around the country, and of course, this movement regarding 5G exists all across the country. Can you speak in any way to any nationwide networking, other groups or places doing similar types of festivity-style activism around raising awareness concerning 5G?
Oh, yes. People are fighting it nationwide and internationally. 5G crisis, that's another good website that lists actions. We are in communication somewhat with each other in different communities, and we support each other as able. For example, I wrote a letter to the city council in Elk Grove, California, another one in Sacramento, California. Fairfax has had some success, and we learn from each other and we support each other. So it's really exciting. And we're up against a BMS. It's just, of course, the FCC is a long ago captured agency, captured by industry. It was telecom lobbyists who wrote the Communications Act of 1996, which forbade cities and states from considering environmental effects when they're establishing their regulations. They can consider those effects, but they can't base their laws on those factors. But there are also many other factors that they may base their laws on, such as reduction in property values, aesthetics. The equipment is hideous, destroys the character of our streets and our neighborhoods, and interferes with weather prediction. 30% decrease in weather prediction accuracy, which is particularly important. You know, we recently had these windstorms, which increased fire risks, and everybody in California is very concerned now about fire risks, but in other parts of the country, they're concerned about tornadoes and so forth and floods that are connected to climate change. So weather prediction is very important so that we can prepare. The antennas also increase fire risks. The antennas themselves, the fuel that is stored on the poles or nearby for backup generation, and the smart meters, all three of those increase fire risks. Very important. So we do what we can to stop it using many of those reasons. And above all, there's the question of democracy. Are we going to let big telecom dictate that our elected officials have to break their oaths of office and refuse to protect their constituents and refuse to base their local laws on their constituents' health and safety? No. That cannot stand.
Well, Phoebe Sorgan, I'm glad you mentioned the FCC. I'm glad that you're alluding to this corporate capture of regulatory committees. And I know a lot of folks right now that lean left, Democrat, progressive are cautiously celebrating a potentially new administration. But I hate to bring it up, some of the very people that have been problematic have been appointed by Democrats onto the FCC. We've definitely had a lot of industry-friendly folks operating at the FCC. Do we have a Democratic Republic? Do we have the ability to attenuate these kind of appointments or not? And Phoebe Sorgen, the answer seems to be, at least now, not so effectively, right?
We'll work with progressive Democrats and we'll work with even centrist Democrats as best we can. But we all know that this is a corporatist duopoly. And it's hard to educate the public because the media is also bought out with huge conflicts of interest. The New York Times on the very front page had their science writer publish a hit piece on us right before a couple of the International Action Days against 5G. So we have our work cut out for us, and we so appreciate independent media for trying to get the truth out there as best we can.
Well, we certainly try to get information about public safety and technology and all of the things that are happening. A big problem with some of this 5G and Internet of Things, the corporate media rarely talks about it at all. And if they do, it's kind of like a public relations dispatch. It's sort of like a cheerleading segment on it. They almost never cover or take seriously any of these issues. And since you are in Berkeley, I wanted to remind our listeners that it was in the San Francisco Bay Area, San Francisco and then Berkeley, where there were local ordinances eventually passed about cell phone safety usage. And in San Francisco, that was overturned because of the telecom lobby, but it's stuck in Berkeley with the city council. And the only thing they wanted to do is take the warning that's already inside the phone instructions and put it on the outside of the box in legible font. Is that right?
That's right. And I was involved in that struggle. It took us 5 years to get it passed in Berkeley, and then it was in the courts for 5 years. Lawrence Lessig of Harvard Law School represented Berkeley pro bono, flying across the country at his own expense for hearings. He's such a hero. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we won. It's just amazing. And then they found a way to bring it back, and it's precarious now. It's a long struggle, a long arc. Eventually, we will win, but we need a lot of people fighting for health and safety and even the right to know. One thing I want to reiterate is that there are alternatives. We're not saying don't use technology. We're saying use it in healthy ways and educate people about how they can use it in healthy ways. So, of course, cell phones, I have one. I never hold it next to my head. It's on airplane mode most of the time. Right now, I'm speaking from a corded landline. Cordless phones are as bad as cell phones. Get rid of them. People have cell phones. Texting is safer than talking, and don't use it when you're in an elevator because the metal can magnify the radiation. So there are very easy ways to use technology, but to use it safer. Back to the 5G issue, the fact is that copper or fiber, either one is, of course, safer, but not only that, it's more reliable, more secure, less prone to hacking, less prone to data mining, and without the fire risks. And get this, wired will always be faster than wireless, always. 5G, they're saying it's faster than 4G. It may be a bit faster than 4G, but wired connections are always far, far faster. So that's the way to go. We don't have to give up technology, but we have to push for using it in safer ways. It's just horrendous that they're using social injustice as a way to push this. No, everybody needs to have the internet, but it doesn't have to be wireless. And it's horrendous that some schools are going wireless. We need the schools to go wired. And if they provide children with iPads or laptops, they need to have wired connections, and the parents need to be informed about the dangers associated with wireless.
That's it right there. We deal with that up here in Sonoma County. Kids have iPads. I mean, not to mention it's a corporate boondoggle. Well, that's another topic, but and planned obsolescence. But there's no literacy that goes along with it in terms of best practices or best use. And anybody that tries to bring it up at a school board meeting or anywhere else has looked at that tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. Those labels get lobbed around pretty freely, which is really interesting because this is just about safety for a lot of people. I don't see what's wrong with the precautionary principle. Do you, Phoebe Sorgan?
We need to adhere to the precautionary principle, which is a legally binding ordinance in Berkeley, not just a symbolic resolution. They passed it years ago, yet they ignore it.
Well, Phoebe Sorgan, we're about out of time for this segment. Anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I would say for people to jump in and help in whatever way they want. Some people prefer to write letters to officials or write op-ed pieces or letters to editors. Some people prefer to protest. Some people are willing to risk arrest and engage in nonviolent civil disobedience. By the way, for these candlelight vigils, it's unlikely that there will be any arrests. People who don't want to get arrested, they can just leave when the police arrive, or especially when the police say to leave. The police should give 3 clear orders to disperse before making any arrests. So people don't need to fear being arrested. They can protest and go to vigils and go as far as they are comfortable going.
Well, Phoebe Sorgan, thanks so much for your work. Co-founder of Wired, Wireless Radiation Education and Defense, very active in the San Francisco Bay Area against 5G. And of course, you serve on the Green Party U.S. National Committee, as well as the Move to Amend Steering Committee. So Phoebe Sorgan, again, thanks for your work and thanks for coming on the program.
You're very welcome. One last thing.
Yes.
If people want to contact me or Wired, you may email 5GFreeBerkeley@gmail.com or go to gowired.org.
Phoebe Sorgan, thanks so much for joining us on the Project Censored Show.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. We're going to continue our conversation about 5G and the Internet of Things after this brief musical break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. On today's program, we are looking at issues around the technology of 5G and the Internet of Things. Earlier in the program, we were hearing about numerous challenges, problems, and hurdles affiliated with some of that technology, as well as activist movements to try to raise awareness for safe use. In this segment of the program, we're going to continue our conversation, get into some deeper subjects, I think, maybe get into some related matters around the issues. We'd like to welcome back to the Project Censored Show both Amber Yang and Ken Burrows. Amber Yang is the social media coordinator for Stop 5G International. Amber Yang, of course, has been working with us at Project Censored for a number of years, written numerous articles and stories, and co-created a journalism model, constructive journalism, and the mindful media movement. Amber Yang, welcome back to the Project Censored Show.
It's great to be on here again.
We're also joined by Ken Burrows, no stranger to the Project Censored audience here. Ken Burrows, a longtime faculty affiliate at Project Censored. Ken Burrows has been an educator and a consultant for over 40 years, teaching holistic health studies at San Francisco State University since 1991. He's the founder and director of the Holistic Health Learning Center. He also runs the Gandhi King Season for Nonviolence, and he has also been an advocate for safe use of technology, and he has done a lot of research on radiation and health issues around communications technologies. Ken Burrows, welcome back to the Project Censored Show today.
Thanks, Mickey. Great again to be here.
Amber Yang, let's start with you. The last segments we had, we got into what some of the challenges are with 5G, some of the problems and solutions about some of this technology. But there's another elephant in the room, and that's the polarization of 5G narratives. And I would argue that we need critical media literacy to understand these kinds of movements for activism in the 21st century. So Amber Yang, what's the polarizing nature of 5G? You've got people trying to raise awareness about this kind of technology. Why has this been a polarizing issue?
Thank you for asking a powerful question. I think there are many narratives that complicate and fragment the movement against 5G. I think it can be really challenging to sort out what's trustworthy and what's not. And here you have Twitter and YouTube banning videos and channels that even talk about 5G in a way that challenges its safety. So on my end, I'm noticing that what keeps us from having healthy and open dialogue, especially about complex issues like 5G, is not that we all have different perspectives of 5G wireless technology, but it gets to be the polarization of complex topics like this one where we get stuck. Polarized meaning that, especially under stress, we often think of the world and our experiences as black or white. You're either against technology or for technology. Techno-optimist, techno-pessimist. If you don't believe the hype, that must mean you're a conspiracy theorist. Yet life is too complex to be black or white, or either or. And the polarization of our times leaves out a vast majority of people in the gray zone who are protesting 5G and wireless technology while also deeply valuing technology and its role in our lives, or while also complying with COVID physical distancing regulations. So the main message of our movement is that we want safe, tested technology to protect people from potentially adverse environmental and health impacts, where it's the responsibility of those doing an activity like telecom to show that the activity will not result in significant harm. Right now, we don't have that with 5G wireless technology. And then the other message of our movement is that communities and individuals have a right to know what might impact their health and what's being built in their communities. And in Berkeley right now, there's more than 60 affidavits from people living near where the cell towers are built who had no clue they were being constructed. So our movement is inclusive. We make space for all perspectives working to question and protest 5G. We're not a yes but movement, we're a yes and movement. And just to say that I first heard about the health impacts of wireless technology through the work I was doing with Project Censored. And one of the core learnings I got working with Project Censored is how important critical media literacy skills are, especially in the face of polarization and in the face of hegemony. I love the word hegemony because hegemony means that the interests and narratives of the ruling class dominate, in this case, corporations and big tech, and that the interests and narratives become the status quo, and we unquestioningly accept the status quo. So, for example, the tech industry and big media claim that 5G is energy efficient. It's going to bring connection, especially when many people right now don't have access to internet in a time of remote working and learning during the pandemic, which is really important. Access to technology and internet is super important. Equity is absolutely important. But what they fail to include is the mega energy footprint of all of these internet-connected things humming and buzzing 24/7. And that it doesn't have to be this way. There are many alternatives to wireless technology infrastructure. So we're looking at a huge increase in electricity usage with the arrival of 5G. And then there's the issue of increasing e-waste from increasing technology infrastructure, with lack of proper barriers to prevent leakage of highly concentrated toxic substances. The impact of the e-waste on the ecosystem is extremely long-lasting, irreversible, and dangerous to the sustainability of everyone around that ecosystem. And then when we look at the production of these technologies, according to World Without Genocide at the Mitchell Hamlin School of Law, approximately 6 million people have died as a result of conflicts fueled by the pursuit of rare earth minerals needed for our electronics. So we need to be talking about the systemic issues related to the production and rollout of 5G wireless technology. And just to say that a sign of a true democracy is not hegemony, but when we're actually making space for a diverse range of perspectives on any given topic. Specifically perspectives that are backed by evidence and credible resources, which this movement is. So from a critical media literacy perspective, we want to create what is often discouraged on the local and global level, public debate, critical questioning, and a diverse range of perspectives. So what we're seeing now with big tech is so similar to the tobacco industry. They told us that smoking was healthy. And then when it was debunked and the scientists published papers on the dangers of tobacco consumption, the tobacco industry denied, distorted, and minimized the link between cigarette smoking and disease for decades. Same thing with asbestos manufacturers. They hid evidence that the mineral was dangerous, even as tens of thousands of workers died from exposure. The makers of DDT and Agent Orange stood behind their products, even as it became clear that the herbicides caused cancer. So it's really not a radical notion that the tech industry has an incentive to shut down and distract us from published peer-reviewed research showing the health and environmental impacts of wireless technology. And actually, in 2007, European Union's environmental watchdog, the European Environment Agency, warned that wireless technology could actually lead to a health crisis similar to those caused by asbestos, smoking, and lead in gasoline. So the issue is that there's no health oversight at all being done. There's no conversation on many of the mainstream corporate media platforms about this too. And many people are speaking up about it. We have the Green Party of California that's now passed a resolution opposing 5G without environmental review. We have the United Educators of San Francisco passing a resolution opposing cell towers next to school. And then we have the Sierra Club, who recently passed a resolution regarding concern for 5G based on new evidence about potential environmental and climate change impacts.
Amber Yang, that's a lot to think about. The critical media literacy angle provides context. It also provides opportunities for people to question these things. And again, the couple of the cases that came up about cell phone technology and so on, a lot of major scientific agencies and government agencies have been telling us for a very long time that there isn't anything to worry about. People that have tried to report about this, Joel Moskowitz comes to mind, are often derided or referred to in a derisive way, being called a Wi-Fi truther, these types of things. So how do we work beyond these kinds of labels and have dialogue? What kind of communication skills or strategies are you employing? Because you're involved in this right now and you're reaching out even to young people who are skeptical.
I think what I'm seeing now on the social media platforms from people that are questioning and or protesting 5G is a lot of polarized messages. So you're seeing a lot of like faces of Bill Gates with devil horns. You're seeing a lot of pairing of different issues like vaccines and all the physical distancing regulations about COVID. You see that being paired with 5G right now. What I've been doing on the Stop 5G International Instagram is that I'm really passionate about the concept called pacing, which is something that a friend introduced to me that is practiced in hypnosis studies and therapy, where you want to start off with common knowledge. You want to start off where you can actually meet people where they are. You don't want to come really strong and say, this is what I believe in and you should believe in it. It's really important to start off with common knowledge and to not always be so definitive, to say, you know, people are really questioning this and here's some evidence to show that. So I'm actually doing a lot of work on creating messages that's not so dramatic too, but just to even have real pictures of 5G cell towers is important instead of like devil horns and skulls and skeletons, which is happening a lot on social media platforms. So instead, I bring it to what's most important. It's that people are organizing about this. People are coming together to talk about this issue. And they're not just random people. These are doctors and scientists and families all over the world. And so when you focus on the community aspect of organizing and that people are really caring about the safety and well-being of their communities, then the whole game changes. Then it's something that we can all get along. We can all understand. That's a few things that I've been doing with the social media platforms.
Amber Yang, could you give a website or two or some places that people can follow that or find some of the work that you're doing with Stop 5G International?
Stop 5G International has a Twitter page. If you look up Stop 5G International Twitter, it'll pop up. We also have an Instagram called Stop 5G International. And then we have our YouTube channel called Stop 5G International. So you can put it in the search button. It should pop up right away.
After this brief musical break, we'll continue our conversation. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Huff. Well, today on the program, we've been talking about 5G technology and the Internet of Things. We've been hearing from people who are concerned about the rollout of this technology and what they believe to be a lack of safety, oversight, or regulation. Certainly not a lot of best practices or education going on around the embracing of this kind of technology. And before the break, we heard from Amber Yang. And right now, we're going to hear from Ken Burrows. I introduced Ken earlier. Let me do that again. He is the founding director of the Holistic Health Learning Center at San Francisco State University. He's been an educator and consultant for over 40 years. He's a longtime contributor to Project Censored and also was one of the co-creators of the Constructive Journalism and Mindful Media movement. Ken Burrows, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mickey.
So you heard Amber Yang prior to the break, and she really laid out a lot of things for us to think about. And I know you've got a lot to add here.
You bet. Glad to share. We've been doing this work in Project Censored the last 6 or 7 years, and my students and myself have been looking into the topic of wireless radiation and its impact on human health for over a decade now. We published stories in recent times in Project Censored and in the different censored years. In 2015, we published an article about the accumulating evidence of wireless tech health hazards. Censored 2019, we published how big wireless made us think cell phones are safe while selling millions of them. And then the 2020 censored book, we have how the new 5G network spurs health concerns. So we've been very active doing this for, as I say, quite some time and thinking about these challenges while meanwhile, lurking behind the sparkling commercials about the coming 5G wireless networks are the dangers that most people really are totally unaware of. There's the whole question about freedom of choice. It's such a fundamental American value. And right now, the FCC and the telecom industry are forcing American citizens to really endure the involuntary exposure to this increasingly powerful wireless radiation network. And if 5G is really put in place, we'll have that 24/7 right around our own homes. And the peer-reviewed research studies on wireless radiation have shown it can cause cellular and DNA damage linked to cancer, impaired cognitive function, lowered immune response, fatigue, headaches, insomnia, reproductive harm. There's a whole list, anxiety, depression, and much more. If you look at the history of this movement, the firefighters of California, they have a very cautionary tale to share with us. They spent 15 years and millions of dollars fighting cell towers that were placed on their stations. They did so because even though they're quite healthy as a group of people, for years they kept suffering from these harms, these very symptoms I just mentioned. And the presence of cell towers attached to their stations, they finally put two and two together, and eventually they worked with their unions and had these towers removed. And now, legally, you cannot place a 5G wireless radiation tower on a fire station because they organized and fought them. They'll be placed in other public buildings, on our schools, and affecting our children.
So, Ken Burrows, that's a fantastic example. I'm glad you brought it up. We've talked about it before. That sounds like it's a political decision, not a scientific one.
Well, it's both. Clearly, they relied upon the science to be able to sell this in court. Current exposure levels to RFs and EMFs are not even being measured. There's no safety testing right now being done by, certainly on the 5G cell, small cell networks that are being constructed. The FCC even admits that there's no safety testing for these. So there's lots of science. Just this month, the International Journal on Environmental Research and Public Health published this systematic review and a meta-analysis of the research on cell phone use and tumor risk. And they found if you use a cell phone and you use it more than 1,000 hours, you have a significant risk of a tumor. That means about 17 minutes per day over 10 years. Just last Friday, the state of New Hampshire released a legislative report. They discussed harmful impacts of electromagnetic waveforms and 5G, and they suggested that we move toward a much less invasive technology. So there are groups around the country that are getting this, even though most of us are not educated. The California Medical Association, about 5 years ago, their House of Delegates resolved to change the wireless standards because they haven't been changed in over 20 years. The Physicians for Safe Technology, by the way, are a great resource for really looking more closely at that, mdsafetech.org. In the UK, they had a consensus statement of the international medical and scientific experts on health, the health impacts about non-ionizing radiation. And their statement just came out about their concerns. In Swiss, doctors organized for environmental protection and for applying this precautionary principle specifically toward mobile communication devices. And the Dutch Medical Advisory Panel that advises the government calls for caution on 5G to not use this millimeter band until there's more research. And what you find, if you look at all this research anyway, that there's two different groups. There's a large group of techno-optimists that just really believe that we should move forward on technology and its application. And there's increasingly a smaller group that are actually saying, well, we should think about these things. We should look at them closely because some of the technology may not serve us. In fact, it may harm us. And we don't want to be the guinea pigs for the testing of these technologies and have our health be at risk as a result. Just to show you where this is leading us, the World Economic Forum just recently published this last August about the challenges of technology governance. And they're saying this is important because they're looking at advancements in what they're calling now not the Internet of Things, but the Internet of Bodies. And they're suggesting that numerous connected devices and sensors can be affixed or even implanted or ingested into the human body. And they go on about these incredible ways of gathering data and the biometric supports and the human behavioral support that's really going to transform the health research and health industry, healthcare industry. And they put in a very quick few lines on the bottom about the challenges that and the concerns for privacy and autonomy, let alone personal health. We tend to love science fiction, most of us. We really buy into technology as being a race into a positive future, when in fact, it may come with a lot of symptoms along the way, and many of them may not be good.
Well, Ken Burrows, the work that you do really focuses on solutions and constructive type journalism, and in fact, new ways of thinking and acting in the world, up to and including just creating a whole new story for humanity. And we're going to finish on that note. But before we do, I wanted to hear what you thought about current or long-term solutions for what we're facing. And you've already shared some educational resources, but I suspect you may have more.
Let me share a few resources just as a change of pace. There's some key ones to check in with. A very important one is the Environmental Health Trust, ehtrust.org. The Environmental Health Trust is educating all of us, individuals, health professionals, communities, about the controllable environmental health risks and the policy changes we need to make to reduce those risks. They're full of wonderful information. They're really leading the collection of evidence-based thinking about the 5G health movement. SaferEMR.com, it's about electromagnetic radiation safety, all forms of technology that you can check out there. I mentioned MDSafeTech.org. Physicians for Safe Technology. These are physicians and health professionals aiming to prevent acute and chronic diseases by encouraging safe uses of technology. EMFScientist.org, the International EMF Science Appeal of 235 scientists from 41 nations signing an appeal to really manage wireless radiation going forward. Bioinitiative.org, it's been out about 8 years, but still a wonderful report of to showing that it's been science all along. We're just not paying attention to it. EMFportal.org, an intensive literature database of about 26,000 publications, summaries of individual scientific studies and group studies on electromagnetic fields and their impact. There's more to say, but if you think about solutions, and many of these will have resources for you in that direction, there's some things we can all do, and there's so much more science on this. When I think about children, I think brain scans show that children absorb more radiation than adults. Brain tumors are the leading cause of cancer-related deaths in children from 0 to 14 right now. So we're facing a probable epidemic that may be in part certainly supported by our technologies. And France, if you look at Europe once again, France was the first nation to employ Wi-Fi in their schools. And they're now replacing the Wi-Fi there because they've realized that it's turned out to be quite a danger to their children. And they're replacing it with what they propose to be new technologies that will be much safer. So the things we can do to protect our children and the things we can do individually. I mentioned just one group idea, given our time limits. It's very hard right now with the FCC and their mandates. They're getting lots of support from the courts and from the federal government. And because there's no real health oversight, we're really sort of stuck not knowing how to stop this from being placed, and with it all the privacy and health concerns that come with it. But one group we might turn to, and one thought would be to turn to school trustees and to our schools. Schools are in called local parentis, They have to answer to parents. They have a higher level of legal liability, and they must take appropriate action if there's some proof that children are being harmed. So that would be one group where we can organize, just as the firefighters did. How do we begin to gather our data and show the impact on, in this case, our children, and that we might find these tipping points to really develop more awareness around the dangers of these technologies. And finally, a couple things we can do individually, reduce our own exposure. These are really basic, but use a corded landline. Remove cordless phones from your home or just minimize their use. Use analog utility meters on your home. Refusing smart meters makes sense. We have refused it on our home. Use a wired router for internet connections. Turn off your Wi-Fi if possible. Reduce your cell phone use. Minimize the use next to your skin. Distance is your friend when you use these technologies. We've known this for a long time. We just need to start looking more closely at what's really going on and not being so optimistic about the technologies we're using so blindly.
Well, indeed, Ken Burroughs, that's also likely part of creating new stories for humanity, which is another thing that you like to research and talk about a good deal. Mm-hmm. We're about out of time for this segment. So is there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I think it's always a race between chaos and education. And right now, we're sheltering in place. There's a great chance to educate ourselves, but I think many people are sort of checked out. We need to find a way to really stir people up and get this word to people. It's a challenge right now, but it's something we all need to be looking at. And hopefully we can start educating ourselves. You can go to our YouTube channel, Holistic Health Studies at San Francisco State University, and you can see our whole conference based on these ideas and visions for a better society moving forward.
Ken Burroughs, educator, consultant over 40 years, teaching holistic health studies at San Francisco State University, as well as Project Censored affiliate faculty. Ken Burroughs, thanks for joining us on the Project Censored Show.
My pleasure, Mickey.
Supporting human conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, because they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. That's why you hear this.
You've been listening to the Project Censored Show, established in 2010 by myself along with Peter Phillips. I'm the executive producer, Mickey Huff, of this program. Also the host, Anthony Fest, our senior producer. Thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Political ties, habitual eyes, alibis, disguise, another guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burn bright with waves full of poison. Genocide, wars, fall for little poison. The weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons, build the capacity, citizens. Hypnotized by the master thief, combine, conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Time's running out to reach all potential. Fiend at the table, then you're probably on the menu. We got that love of the brother.